Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, folks. This is Jordan Sekulow. A new book is out today, and we're honored to have the authors of the book joining us. If you've been following the story of Saeed Abedini, who is imprisoned in Evin Prison in Tehran and has been since September because of his Christian faith, and this is a book that could not have come out at a more important time for all of you. The book is called Captive in Iran. It's captiveiniran.com. You can get the book everywhere now today. And we have with us the authors who spent over 200 days in Evin prison because of their Christian faith. And this was back in 2009, so a very current account of what this was like to go through both their faith and how they got to that point, what it was like, and today as well. And you know how brave and strong you have to be to write about that kind of an experience. Mariam and Marzia are joining us now. They are the authors of Captive in Iran, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
First question, and either of you can answer or both of you can. And I know the book, I got an early copy of the book and read through it, and you both tell your stories from your own perspective, which is a very interesting way to see how you were seeing the experience each day. But tell everybody listening now who's been following the Christian persecution in Iran and following Saeed Abedini's situation in the same prison where you were imprisoned, how you became Christians.
This is Mariam. I converted to Christianity 14 years ago. And, you know, since I was a young child, I always sought to learn more about God and build a more personal relationship with Him. And my heart and my soul were always thirsty to find out more about God and to find out the truths about Him. And, you know, we both grew up in a country, Iran, in a country where religious laws and regulations always stop people from knowing the truth. And it starts exactly from childhood. For example, at the schools, students were forced to read the Quran or other Islamic books or pray namaz that is in Arabic. But I remember I had always many questions about Islam and its rules. For example, I had never understood why I had to talk to him in a language which I didn't even know its meaning, I mean Arabic. And I had many other questions which made me more confused and frustrated. But to make the story short, one day I received a booklet from my sister. It was a part of Book of Luke, and it was titled, His Name is Wonderful. After reading that book, I was alone in my room, and through reading the book, I had a personal experience with Jesus. I met with Jesus, and after 3-4 hours being in my room alone, I could completely feel that my heart was profoundly touched by Jesus' love. And I gave my heart to Jesus without any doubt or second thought after reading the book. And, you know, I always tell people that Jesus himself witnessed and delivered to me the good news of salvation, even before I had gone to church or had spoken to anyone about him.
Mm. You know, we've heard that story before, that people in these situations, in places where it's so hard to access. It's tough for Americans. You know, many Americans, they hear these stories. It's tough to understand and fully just imagine what it's like to not have access to the scripture, to not have access to church. And let me go to Marzia, because you ended up in Turkey and met each other there, going to Bible school, leaving Iran, going to Bible school, and tell people about that experience. I mean, this is all in the book. The book is Captive in Iran. It is out today, folks, and I encourage you to get this. If you have got involved with Saeed Abedini, this is a book that walks you through what it's like, because we'll get to that in a moment. But both of them were arrested and then imprisoned in Evin prison in Tehran, where Pastor Saeed is right now as we speak. So, Marzia, tell us about that. Tell us about the Bible school, the training, and what you were prepared to do to go back into Iran.
Yes. Mariam and I, we went to Turkey in 2005 for studying theology in Turkey. And we were there for about 7 months. We studied theology. We were eager to know more about Bible. And we had this passion in our hearts for serving Iranian people. And after finishing our theology courses, we both returned to Iran, and we had planned to serve Iranian people. And we just pray and ask God to show us how we can serve Iranian people. And You know, in Iran, people cannot find the real version of Bible, and there is just a false and distorted version of Bible. And that's why we prayed and asked God to show us, to give us a vision. And we both had this passion to talk to people, evangelize Iranian people. And that's why we distributed for 2 years. We distributed about 20,000 New Testaments in Tehran and a few other cities. And also, we had two house churches for young people in our apartment, and also for prostitutes. And every day we were evangelizing people, talking to them about Jesus. Whenever we went for shopping, eating at restaurant or doing our chores, we were talking to people and handing them a Bible as a gift. And all these activities, as you know, it's illegal in Iran.
So you were handing out the Bibles. You were living together at the time and going about the ministry work you were doing. Knew some of the risk and tell people, because this was the story surrounding your arrest. I think it goes to the extent of which the regime in Iran will go to stop Christians, but also to trick. And it shows how much thought is going into stopping any kind of spread of the gospel whatsoever. So we'll go back to Mariam. Mariam, tell people what happened that day. I thought it was an amazing story. I know you go into much more detail in Captive in Iran and the story of your faith and how you became Christians and getting to this point. But to me, the fact that the regime put that much thought into tricking both of you, really, into ending up in this situation and then interrogating you, tell people about that.
Yes. The day we got arrested, early in the morning, Maggie received a phone call from a stranger, and he had some questions about her car documents. And he asked her to go to the police station and asked some questions about the car documents. And at the end, she understood that she was there for another purpose. And they asked for her address and for our address. And they asked her to come to our house with her. And then they came to our house and they arrested both of us. They ransacked everywhere. They took all our belongings, like books, Bibles, Jesus movies, and all our personal belongings, and they took both of us to the security police. You know, after we got released, we heard that 2 months before we got arrested, the government was watching our activities because we were traveling to Turkey many times a year for attending some Christian conferences. And they are so scared, I can say, about Christian activities, because it's more about power and it's more about keeping their power. They think that, you know, by keeping Islam and by forcing people to be a Muslim and forcing them to act like a Muslim, practice Islam, they can keep their power. And but we can see that especially among young generation, there is a movement and more people are eager to hear about Christianity.
You were in prison 259 days. You were sentenced to death because of your Christian faith and your conversion and the work you were doing. You were young. I mean, you are young, but you were very young at the time. I mean, to be going through all of this. Tell people that are listening right now, they've heard these stories, that there's been more and more focus on Iran recently and some of the crackdown on Christianity. Tell people what it was like, and either of you can answer, or both of you. I think this is important for what prison is like. I know that in your book you describe it as you're no longer human, and that was before you even were at Evan Prison, but that you cease being a human and you are treated as if you're an animal.
Yes, I can say, you know, for the first week and especially the first day was very difficult for both of us. We were so scared because we are a human being and with all our weaknesses, and we were so scared, pale, and even sometimes we couldn't talk, and the only thing that we could do was praying, because as you told, their behavior was so brutal and humiliating, and they threatened us to torture, physical torture, several times. And the situation of Evin prison, I can say it's like hell. For 15 days we were in detention, which was horrible. And we had very difficult times in that detention. And after 15 days, they sent us to another prison, which is Evin prison. And also, we spent about 38 days in 209, which is a separate building in Evin prison. And it's famous for physical and mental torturing. And we were being interrogated once a week for a long hours by two interrogators, and our situation was very difficult. And I can say about Evin prison that it's it was like a hell, but we had very good opportunity there to talk with many prisoners and to share the good news of salvation with many prisoners. And we always tell people that this prison, despite all these difficulties, became our church.
And that is an important part of this, because Iran thinks that they're stopping Christians. I think they do this. They try to say, you don't want to end up like Sayyid Abedini, or you don't want to end up like Mariam or Marzia. You don't want to end up like this, so you better not tell people about what you believe, and certainly don't pass out the scriptures. But then we hear the stories. We hear from people like you, and we've heard from others before. Is that why it's so important to write this book? Is that why, you know, I know a lot of people, they struggle with writing about these kind of experiences so quickly. But you know, you were not released until 2010. You thought, and you knew that you had, were sentenced to death because of your faith. Did you write this for the Christians in Iran now? Is it for people here, people in the United States, to understand what's happening to Christians around the world and Christians in Iran in your home?
Yes, we would like to, one of our main goal is to be a voice for voiceless people, because when we were in this prison, we experienced many bad things. We saw many injustice and cruelty, which affect us mentally. And they executed one of our best friends, and we saw many executions, some execution inside the prison. And, you know, part of our heart is still there, and we cannot forget our friends and which they are suffering in that dark place. And we promised some of our friends to be a voice for them, and because nobody can hear their voice. And also, as you know, there are some Christian still in this prison, like Sayyid Abedini, and also one of our friends, Farshid Fathi. He's he was in this prison for 3 years, and he still should stay in this prison for three more years. And we know that situation, how much is difficult, and that's why we try to spread the message of our book in order to inform other nation what is going on in those countries and dark places like Evin prison in Iran.
You know, you mentioned Sayyid Abedini. Folks, we're talking to the authors of a new book. It comes out today. I think everybody has to get a copy of this. If you have gotten involved in these efforts to save Sayyid that we've been working on, and followed his story, followed the letters that we've received, followed his wife, Nagma Abedini, talking about the situation with his imprisonment, his trial, his sentencing. The book is Captive in Iran. It's captiveiniran.com. It came out today. The authors are with us. They were imprisoned in the same prison that Sayyid is right now, Evin prison. They were there for 259 days, sentenced to death, both of them because of their Christian faith. Mariam and Marzia, who are joining us now. And you talked about Sayyid Abedini. Did you know Sayyid in the Christian community in Iran? Is it a tight-knit community that is working on these working on spreading the gospel?
Yes, I know Sayyid personally. I went to the same church that Sayyid did, and his wife is a good friend of mine, and I know them. You know, we mentioned this yesterday in an interview that Sayyid is in prison, Farshid is in prison, and it's not just about these two precious men. And it's, you know, that there are many Christians,
sure,
that are in prison, in not just in Evin, in prisons in other cities of Iran. And as Marzia mentioned from the beginning, before starting writing our book, we prayed and asked God to help us to be a voice for these people who are still in suffering in those dark places. And we would like to encourage people to continue praying for them, to continue support them by sending letters. And this is very important because when we were in prison, we were told by one of the guards in prison that we had about 40 to 50 letters each day from different parts of the world, from the Christians. Wow. And they were supporting us. And we could see that those letters had had a great impact on the Iranian government. And after that, they started behaving us better, and they changed their behaviors. And we would like to encourage people to continue sending letters to prisoners, to Saeed, to Farshid. And we put their names on website, captiveiniran.com, and also with the address of Evin Prison. We really encourage people to send letters and also to continue praying for them. And, you know, we can see God's miracle these days, because last night we met with Senator Lindsey Graham, and he was so eager to help us to be a voice for these people, and he invited us to Washington next week to Senate to meet with 12 senators. And we would like to share more of these stories about people who are suffering because of their faith. And it's not just about Christianity, as you know. Other religions also are in suffer, like Baha'is, Darawish, and also other people, political prisoners, and especially women in Iran who are the real victims of wrong rules of Islam. They don't have any hope. They don't have any freedom in Iran. And that's why we could talk to them, and we could share when we were sharing the message of Christianity and what Jesus did on the cross for our sins. They were so open to hear, and they were so receptive.
Well, folks, the book is Captive in Iran, a remarkable true story of hope and triumph amid the horror of Tehran's brutal Evin prison. I don't want to give the whole book away. But I encourage everybody to get a copy of this today. You can go to captiveiniran.com. You can go to all the major websites to get it. My final question is this: your release. Do you know why? Did you know it was about to happen? And do you accredit, I know, prayer and, of course, your faith in God? But was it just not giving up? Were there moments when you could have given up? And I'll finish with this question. I want to save the rest for the book and for everybody out there to read it. But what was that like to be released, and did it just happen out of nowhere?
We believe that the first reason that we got released was God's grace. And the second reason, we believe that it's because of people's prayers. And as Mariam mentioned, it was very important that people sending us many letters. And also we heard that there were some international and influential organizations like Amnesty, United Nations, and even Pope from Vatican. They sent letters to Iranian government and talked to them, which was very good for our situation, and their behavior completely changed. And the Iranian government, they know that many people all around the world, they were watching them, and they were watching their cruelty, injustice, and that's why they had to release us in order to show that we have freedom in Iran, religious freedom in Iran, which is not true. And as you know, there are many Christians and other innocent people, they are still in this prison and suffer. And all these activities and all these things help us to get released.
Folks, I want you to get this book today, Captive in Iran, a remarkable true story of hope and triumph amid the horrors of Tehran's brutal Evin prison. We are going to put the links up so you can purchase the book on our Facebook, the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ.org. The authors who've given us so much of their time today, and I thank them for that, Mariam and Marzia, thank you so much for what you're doing for the persecuted church in Iran, for telling your story, which is a brave thing to do, for speaking out, for putting this on paper so that people know the truth about the treatment of Christians in Iran. We continue to pray for the persecuted in Iran and pray for that they continue to have faith. Thank you so much for joining us today on the show.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.